This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you for joining us here at Cradle My Heart Radio. It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you and really fulfill the mission of preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. How do we best help someone who has been hurt by abortion? Of course, we have to walk in faith and trusting the lives of the little ones whose lives have been taken by abortion. We have to entrust them to the seniors' care. That's at the very, very center of our hope, that message that Jesus Christ said, let the little children come to me. And so we hope, we promote that message, we share the gospel truth and the story of reconciliation, the story of healing, and the story of how God's love is meant for our redemption because of what Christ has done for us in his sacrifice and in his resurrected power. And one of the ways that we can impart this to one another is through music. I know that great preaching is necessary. I know that prayer is very important. But when I wrote my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, we put a song recommendation or songs recommended at the end of every chapter because in my healing journey, music was indispensable. So I'm really excited to be able to talk with you tonight about a new project called Mercy Great Enough from Music for the Soul. And joining us to do that is Steve Seiler, the founder of Music for the Soul. Steve, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Absolutely, Steve. So tell me about the inspiration for this new project. Music for the Soul, that is, has been a well-established ministry, and you've had, I know, other projects that deal with serious life issues like suicide, like pornography, with a really unique approach to each one. So now that you're working on helping provide music for the soul, healing after abortion, tell me about the inspiration for this project, Mercy Great Enough.
Well, this actually goes back more than 10 years. I was in the St. Paul area, and a friend of mine in Virginia said, while you're there, you should meet a friend of mine. And so I met this woman for lunch, and she shared with me that she had a personal ministry praying with people who had an abortion. And I couldn't believe that. I'd never heard of anything like that. And the more she shared with me, naturally as a songwriter, Kim, it just usually works out that I process any profound meeting that I have, you know, through the act of writing a song. And the song We Forgive You came out of that lunch. And at the time, we had several other projects that we were working on. And so I couldn't really give the issue the attention I felt it deserved for a full-length project. And finally, after several years and meeting many other people and hearing many other stories, I felt like we had enough material to begin to really seriously consider sharing on this issue.
And, you know, the scope of the project is really impressive, Steve, because as I'm looking at Music for the Soul's website and referencing Mercy Great Enough, I see the names of many, many people that I've interviewed through the years trying to gain the full range of help that's available for people out there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this project is for men. It's for the women who are involved. Tell me about everybody that can benefit from Mercy Great Enough. It's a really big undertaking here.
Well, yes, and we always spend a couple of years doing the research piece because we want to honor everybody that's been involved, and of course I learned so much, Kim, about how many lives one abortion touches. I had never considered people like siblings yet to be born, or grandparents, or nieces and nephews and uncles, cousins, just all the different people in the circle of a family and relationships that would be touched by an abortion. So I learned a lot about that in this process. we had one counselor in particular who was just urged me very strongly, please don't leave the men out, because so often men are not considered in the discussion. And so we wrote songs specifically from the male perspective, songs specifically from the female perspective, and songs that include both. So my hope and prayer is that for anyone who's been touched by this issue and is in need of healing, that they will hear their voice in this record.
So tell me about individual songs. There are so many different themes that we discuss on our program that I've talked with, engaging with individuals. I know it generally comes down to the big two, grief and guilt. And for me, in the journey to wholeness after abortion, there was a huge need for discipleship because, and this has been really the focus of my outreach, is the spiritual component. You know, there's there's an emotional journey we have to take after abortion, but boy, all of the self-help and all of the counseling in the world didn't cure me, didn't really lead to any lasting improvement. And when spiritual truth broke through into my mind and spirit and heart, suddenly my emotions came in line with the truth. Tell me about the themes of the various songs on Mercy Great Enough.
Well, you touched on them right away, of course. The opening part of the record is about guilt, shame, and secrets and grief. All of those issues are dealt with. But ultimately, the one thing that I kept hearing, Kim, the more and more people I spoke with, both women and men, the thing I kept hearing over and over again was this feeling that they should be punished, that God wanted to punish them. And I thought, for me, that just felt like so far the opposite of what God wants to do for us when we're wounded and when we have trauma and pain in our past, whether it's from our decision that we've made ourselves or from something that's impacted us. And so I really felt very, very strongly that ultimately the theme of this record had to be that God wants to love someone, wants to heal them, wants to restore them, wants to reconcile them to himself, to others, wants to get them to the point where they can live into his purpose for their lives. So this theme of hope rising again, and this theme of forgiveness, for me, was just, that's where we wanted to take people, to this place where they could be free, free to be known and loved by God again.
And again, you know, we have interviewed some of the same people that are writing. There are devotionals that are attached to the project that people, I think, you know, I contributed a devotional, and that was a real privilege and a joy for me. But we've interviewed Dawn Damon. We've interviewed, we haven't interviewed Paula Ellefson, although I've met Paula. But share some of the stories around the individual circumstances of people finding healing in Christ after abortion, because I think this is where the real power lies, as we look at one another and say, well, if God has done that there, maybe he can do this for me, right?
Yes, and I Paula's story was so incredible to me, and I almost don't want to steal her thunder, because I think you should have her on. Her testimony is amazing. But I think that in her case, for so many years, she kept silent. I'm going to leave the details for her to share later, but the essence of it is that for so many years she kept silent, expecting a judgmental response. And the way that God wove grace throughout the responses that she received, from her husband to her children to her parents to her church, was just an amazing story of what God can do in the hearts of people when we're willing to be vulnerable with our deepest, darkest secrets. To me, this is an opportunity. This whole issue, Kim, feels like such an amazing opportunity for the church to witness to the power of grace and forgiveness, not only from God, but the way God works in the lives of all of us.
Steve Seiler is our guest. He's the founder of Music for the Soul, and they have produced a number of projects to help with the serious life issues that often really challenge our faith. And maybe you haven't ever heard a sermon about suicide, about pornography, about abortion. Steve is bringing together God's people, scripture, and music to be able to minister to us through these Music for the Soul projects. And Steve, you know, as you're talking about God's grace, and as I marvel again at God's grace toward me personally, I want to ask you a question because, you know, God has been expanding our reach through social media. And, you know, of course, social media is very anonymous. So that when we will put up a story about redemption, about grace, whether it would be, and generally not my own story, so you know what I mean, I'm not hurt personally by somebody who pushes back. This is not what I'm talking about, although I think that's something that Christians really need to consider. If you're not hearing a story of abortion and giving out God's grace, you really need to consider the condition of your own heart. Because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? I mean, if you, that is so basic to our faith. But I will hear people that regularly issue a voice of condemnation, even in the face of saying that, you know, God's grace is available to us. And I always sense that there's some brokenness or there's some trauma of their own that they have yet to deal with. So talk about what happens when we, you know, when things don't go the way that they did for Paula, or, you know, not just beyond Paula's story, but when they don't go in an ideal way, when we disclose abortion and, you know, we were rejected for it, or we're judged, or we're shunned.
Sure. I think that what you said is true, that a person's response often says much more about the condition of their own heart, and what they are carrying than it does about us. I think that my response would be that if you get a response of condemnation from a congregation or from an individual, then I would encourage somebody to seek out someone else to speak with, because that is, obviously, there's a song in the project called Listen with Love, and it's my request, I guess, to the body of Christ to do just that, that we need to respond the way that Christ responded for us, without judgment and with no condemnation. And so my feeling is, yes, there are always going to be people, what do they say, hurt people hurt people, and you're always going to have those people in your life. But I think that my prayer would be that if someone is willing to be vulnerable, willing to share their deepest, darkest hurts, that's how the light comes in. If you keep your secret, there's no chance for light to come in. But I think once we share our story, then all kinds of beautiful things can happen.
And that's a great word for anybody listening who's thinking, you know, that's good for you and that's good for the people in this project, but I can't disclose that about my past. You don't understand what that would do in my family. You don't understand what that would do at my church. You just don't understand. That was a really good encouragement that you offer us, Steve. And I think this is one of those situations where we understand what Jesus said, you know, when he said, unless you hate mother and father, you know, for my sake, you're not fit to follow me. He was talking about, obviously, not acting in hatred, but not clutching to that reaction that we may receive in a way that limits our growth in faith and in following Christ. It's not necessarily that we all have to share it publicly, but I think that the Lord would have us be free to be able to share it with those who are important to us. And I think, you know, this project is what I love about a project like this, Steve, is that, you know, like my book, you can hand this to someone and you don't have to engage them in a conversation they may be uncomfortable having.
Yes, you talked about the anonymity of social media. And what I love about songs is exactly the same thing. I often say when you play a song for 500 people, there are 500 songs being heard. And the reason for that is that we all bring our own story to what we see and hear. So my prayer would be that as people listen to these songs, that it enters into their own story and gives them a fresh way to look at what they're carrying. And in that anonymity, in that secret place, they could begin to heal there, perhaps before they step out and share. The other thing that we do in our records that I think is really important is we don't avoid the hard pieces. There's a song on this record called "What Now," where the person sings from almost a place of rage or from a place of anger. You know, I listened to what you said. I went ahead with the procedure. What now? Because it's not like you said it was going to be. So we try to just go ahead and walk straight into those difficult places to give people a chance to vent some of the anger and the hurts they might be carrying.
And I think that's important to note as well. Anger can be an extremely helpful emotion if we are stewarding it. You know, because what I learned in my healing journey is that anger generally springs from having suffered an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if someone has led us astray in their counsel that, you know, it's not a baby, it's just tissue, or whatever was said to manipulate or deceive us into the abortion decision, anger is an appropriate answer and emotion, I guess I would say. And what becomes vital then is how we channel that anger, placing that anger on the altar as our offering, if you will, so that God can transform it for His good purpose.
Yes, and on the project, you know, we try to use context on these projects. Well, we don't try. We do use context on these projects. One of the things that is sometimes a little frustrating for me is now that we are in an era where people kind of cherry-pick songs, that, you know, I want them to hear the anger song, but I don't want them to stop there. I want them to hear the more tender brokenness that comes later in a song like "Stain Upon My Heart," where there's confession and where the pain is tangible, but the plea is that Christ come and answer that prayer for healing. And so, you know, on the record, it's kind of like an arc. It begins in one place and walks through the challenges in the healing process, hopefully landing for someone in that place of healing and forgiveness and freedom, Christ.
We're talking with Steve Seiler, founder of Music for the Soul, about a new release just launched, Mercy Great Enough. And Mercy Great Enough seeks to help people who have been impacted by abortion. And it helps everybody involved in the abortion triad, whether it would be the mother, the father, people, you know, who this is a project for people who are concerned about people hurt by abortion as well. And Steve, one of the things that I appreciate, and you brought me into the process to think about and talk about one of the songs that's called "We Forgive You." Tell me a little bit about, before we talk about that song in particular, tell me a little bit about the artists and the other musicians that are involved on Mercy Great Enough.
Well, that's one of the great joys of Music for the Soul is after a long career in the contemporary Christian music industry, I have so many talented, generous-hearted people that come alongside us. "We Forgive You" is sung on the record by Larnell Harris, who brings such passion to his performance. Scott Kerpane is on the record. Michael O'Brien is on the record. So there are some people whose names are familiar. There are some other folks who have been singing in the recording studios for years as session singers, who your listeners might not know, but whose talent is off the charts. Missy Hale is on the record. Felicia Farrar is on the record. Gwen Smith, who's been very public about her abortion and has a song called "Broken Into Beautiful," and she also wrote a song with me for the project called "Your Life Has Made a Difference," a song actually that is addressed both to the child and to Jesus at the same time. So there's incredible, incredible singers on the project. And the other thing, the musicianship on this record, I am so humbled by the talent and the energy and that was brought to this by people like Kent Hooper and Jason Webb and Scott Williamson and Mark Hill and Mark Baldwin and Philip Tevern, all these people whose names you might have seen on liner notes, but just to have a sense of the generosity of their hearts and spirits to pour themselves into this record has just been beautiful.
So we want to give just a little sampling of Mercy Great Enough. We're talking with Steve Seiler, who's the executive producer of the project, as well as the founder of Music for the Soul, which is releasing Mercy Great Enough as we speak. It's been, as Steve said, more than 10 years in the making and has brought together some huge talent, not just in the musicianship, but also in writing the devotions and in the in the writing of the lyrics and so on. Let's talk about we're going to listen to a little bit of the song We Forgive You. And there's a unique perspective on this song in terms of whose voice is actually being represented here.
Yes, and this is always such a great responsibility, or some people might say it's a terrible responsibility, but we actually speak in the first person of Jesus. And Jesus is speaking for himself and for the child.
Would it have been a girl with a diamond smile, or a darling boy with a dimpled chin? Years have passed and still it makes you cry, wishing you could have that choice again. Your heart aches every day for what might have been. You blame yourself for what can never be. You can't begin to hope or dare believe such a loss could ever be redeemed. You've been so alone, you felt so ashamed. But in the midst of your confusion, this is what you need to hear today. We forgive you, your child is safe with me. And I'm holding your child close each time you pray. Please surrender the guilt of your past and be free. Glowing eyes of a mom-to-be. All regrets crash in like tidal waves as you relive the hidden tragedy. So harsh and so cold, you felt you had no choice. When you can't believe, you'll find compassion. Just close your eyes and hear my voice. We forgive you.
That's We Forgive You from Music for the Soul's new project, Mercy Great Enough, which is aimed at those who've been impacted by abortion for our healing. Steve, we've just got about a minute remaining, and I want to give you a chance to speak directly to the person that you most hope will access this new resource for help and healing after abortion.
Well, I want to tell them that, that they've heard a lot of lies about who they are and about what they've done. And I want them to know that when God looks at them, he sees Christ, and their sin, their decision, their mistake, whatever you want to call it, is covered by the blood of Jesus. And so when God looks at them now, he doesn't see that. He loves them. He forgives them. He wants them to know that they have a future and that he has plans for their life that are beautiful and good, and that the child that was lost, that life has meaning. and that the decisions they make moving forward can add meaning to the life of that child. So I just pray that they would lay down the guilt, lay down the shame, and move forward into the love and to the hope that God offers.
Amen. And we'll let that stand as our prayer for those who need to know of God's love today. And I hope that you will go to cradlemyheart.org, where you'll find all the links for Music for the Soul, as well as more about this new project, Mercy Great Enough. Steve Seiler, thank you so much for being our guest.
Well, Kim, it's been an honor. Thank you.
Now stay with us. Coming up on Faith Radio, we'll open the phones, take your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
We are so pleased to have you with us tonight, and I hope that you were able to hear our featured interview about Mercy Great Enough, this project that really encompasses the whole gamut of what needs to happen in the wake of abortion and what people need to hear, women and men who've been impacted by abortion. And we have three copies of the CD. If you would like to receive one, please join us at 1-800-811-3003. We're going to play a couple of more songs for you as the program proceeds here this evening, because you know, the song that we heard a few moments ago, We Forgive You, a song written from the perspective of our Lord and the child with him in heaven, forgiving those who participated in the taking of that life, is very profoundly deep. And we wrote a song, well, I didn't really get much credit for it, but on my CD, there's a song called The Chance, written from the perspective of the child in heaven. And what's so lovely about these imaginings is the truth that these children have only known the love of Jesus Christ all their lives. And so they are not holding anything against us. It's this beautiful, beautiful vision of them healed, complete, and whole, and happy in heaven. But this project, Mercy Great Enough, goes beyond this. And so I'd love to get one copy of it into your hands. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. Just call with your question or comment. Maybe you have some feedback if you heard the interview. Maybe you want to talk about how it is that what was most important. If you've had an abortion and you're willing to share with us, what was most important for your healing? I would love to give you the opportunity to do that. If you are a person who has not been personally impacted by abortion, but you have listened to someone's testimony and felt your heart changed or touched by it, or maybe you've heard something on this program, read something on a pro-life website or social media, something that's really touched your heart and changed your thinking on the issue, give us a call and let us know what that was, just to encourage one another. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Cotola. I had an abortion when I was 23 years old, and it's at the heart of my story in the book Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. And someone who read the book recently shared with me that she felt that this was a book that was all about discipleship, not even so much about recovering after abortion as, you know, what is the journey back to God after we've sinned in a way that alienated us from him, that put a spiritual barrier between us and the Lord, and that stunted our spiritual growth. And all of those things were certainly true of me after abortion. I was very, very far from God. And the lovely thing is that to get close to him, all you have to do is turn. That's what it is to repent. That's what godly sorrow is. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly grief, godly sorrow, produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief, worldly sorrow, produces death." It's a real dead end to continue with endless mourning. And there's a reason that it happens, but it doesn't have to continue to happen. And a project like this one, Mercy Great Enough, is a beautiful beginning toward your healing if you have not yet pursued it. This is something that I want to talk about after this, after we hear one of the songs from Mercy Great Enough. The role of the church in healing, the role of the people around those who participated in abortion as God's people who know that abortion is wrong, who know that it requires repentance. This is a wonderful exhortation from Mercy Great Enough, and this song is called "Listen with Love."
At a glance, you'd say she's got it all together. To look at her, you'd think you know the truth. Inside, she hides a secret she's ashamed of, afraid she'd be unwelcome if you knew. God already knows her story, and he loves her. Which one of us could throw a stone and judge her? We need to listen with love. Listen with love. May the church be a safe place to tell the truth. A new dawn will rise where there was darkness before. When we listen with love like the Lord.
From Mercy Great Enough, that's called "Listen with Love." And wow, that message was so brought home to me recently. We interviewed a woman on our program a number of years ago, and she agreed to the interview, but she remained anonymous. And part of her story was the fact that her mother told her, "You are aborting this pregnancy. You are not having a baby." She was a teenager, still under her parents' roof. She had no way of supporting herself or breaking free and emancipating herself. And her mother dropped her off to walk across a bridge to the major metropolitan area where the abortion was going to take place. And it was quite traumatic for her. She's a believer. She understands God's grace. She understands that she's forgiven. And she's absolutely experienced healing in Jesus Christ, which for someone who's had an experience like that at a tender young age, to me, that's a miracle of healing. And she remains anonymous because she still gets judgment. She still gets people who say, "Well, if you hadn't had sex, you wouldn't have needed that abortion." Judgmental, unkind, unchristian, unchristlike, I should say, very unchristlike responses. And it may surprise you to hear that, but it's very common. And it's probably the most common coming from people who are staunchly pro-life. And because they're offended by the destruction and disposable nature, the destruction of innocent human life and people making children disposable. And that is offensive and it is heinous. and it is grievous. But when you encounter someone who is experiencing the godly sorrow which has led to repentance, you cannot get a pound of flesh from that person and improve upon anything that God has done for them in their repentance. Because, after all, repentance is also a gift, as is faith. All of it is of God. And so I really appreciate that song, Listen with Love. I'm sorry to say I don't think enough of it happens in the church. 1-800-811-3003 is our number if you'd like a copy of Mercy Great Enough, including that song and the other one that we heard in the first segment of the program, We Forgive You. These are songs of healing and hope, finding hope after abortion. 1-800-811-3003. Just share a comment, pose a question, and we'll send you out a copy of the CD. There's also a devotional guide that goes with it, and I wrote for the devotional, and I wrote on this verse from 2 Corinthians about godly sorrow. And what I really, the gist of it is that no matter the circumstances of his or her death, each child deserves to be remembered and laid to rest. But there's a problem grieving someone that you never met. At the heart of our grief and loss after abortion is the problem of saying goodbye. And it's made that much more difficult by people telling us that we have no right to that grief because of the heinous nature of what has been done. And it may be very difficult for you, if you've not experienced abortion, to accept the idea of parents grieving children that they participated in destroying through elective abortion. And yet, as our desperation recedes, our regrets often remain. And God, who forgives us by his mercy, also heals us by his grace. And so this godly grief that we experience really is a gift from the Lord. And what happens is, if we can replace the memory of having participated in their death, because no one's ever 100% responsible for an abortion, there are always others who are complicit. And some of us bore very little accountability for the actual abortion. The decision was made by others. There was coercion. There was forced abortion. I won't go so far as to say that that was the case for me, but I was accountable along with a lot of other people for what happened that day. When we take a loving action toward the memory of that child, it can be so healing. It can be so healing as a way to say goodbye and to lay the past to rest in the arms of the Lord. Not to squelch it, not to try to disassociate from it through rationalizations and all the other ways that we try to disassociate ourselves. Because you see, the problem there is that you can't associate yourself with any positive emotions in the aftermath. You can't just flip a switch, feel certain things and not feel others. It just doesn't work that way. Our hearts aren't constructed to do that. But there is a way out, and a lot of it has to do with giving honor and dignity to the memory of that child. We're going to hear a song in our next segment that is a beautiful tribute that Gwen Smith wrote to her child in heaven. And I think that if you've experienced abortion, you'll find it very meaningful. If you haven't experienced abortion, I think you'll gain some insight into how a parent's heart can regard a child that's been lost to abortion with a great deal of love, with a great deal of dignity and honor. And again, if you'd like to receive a copy, join us, 1-800-811-3003. We're talking about Mercy Great Enough, a new project from Music for the Soul. And we have all the information about that linked at cradlemyheart.org. Let's take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll hear a song from Gwen Smith from Mercy Great Enough, Your Life Made a Difference, here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. I hope that you can join us on social media. We had a very rich thread in our post about Mercy Great Enough this weekend, where many people shared stories that were very, very surprising. And just go to at Cradle My Heart when you're on Facebook, and you'll be able to read the comments that people have posted there. You know, stories about other people's experience of having gone through an abortion, and people modeling a great deal of empathy. People who need a great deal of healing still from stories that have just been heartbreaking. Join us and share your story. We'll give you a chance to share on the air, too, if you'd so like to, at 1-800-811-3003. We are live for you and need your voice. And tonight, our pro-life resource is Mercy Great Enough, this new healing resource for healing the pain that women and men go through after abortion, from Music for the Soul. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Now let's listen to Gwen Smith from The Project. This is a beautiful song that speaks for itself. Your life made a difference. Mercy Great Enough by Music for the Soul. And our number is 1-800-811-3003 if you'd like to receive a copy of this CD. You can also go to cradlemyheart.org, drop us an email, and I will try to enter you into a drawing that way too. But we'd love to hear your voice on the program tonight. 1-800-811-3003. You've got about 10 minutes remaining, so you can skedaddle over to the phone and give us a call. Ground rules always, you don't have to give your name. We just love to speak with you tonight. 1-800-811-3003. Gwen's story is one that you can hear on our podcast if you'll go to cradlemyheart.org and just search in the podcast archives. Gwen told the story of being a standout athlete. She had a volleyball scholarship, and she and her college sweetheart got pregnant, and she wanted to protect that scholarship. They married, and they have a family together, and they needed to take care of the past. It was a spiritual issue between them, and Gwen has such a beautiful way of expressing God's truth in music, and if some of those circumstances line up with an experience like yours, I think that you'd really be blessed by hearing Gwen's song, but also to know that the common thread that runs through stories, and you know, the stories just run the gamut. There are stories of people who, like Gwen, were high achievers and chose abortion to protect a reputation and secure a good economic future. But there are stories of people who were poor and who felt terrified of poverty right around the corner. stalking them almost is the level of desperation and fear that you'll hear in the stories of some. You'll hear stories of people who were parents already to living children who felt that they couldn't see a way that they could continue to provide a good home with another mouth to feed. The stories are all very, very diverse, very different circumstances and different surface needs for the people involved. But the thing that is so that weaves our stories together, that makes our stories that we have so much in common with one another, is our need for a savior in the aftermath. You know, when Jesus said, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will be saved. It's a really beautiful, he's talking there, of course, about salvation. He's talking about self-sufficiency. He's talking about, you know, the pride of life that makes us think that we don't need a savior, that we can make our own way. Self-made man, the American way, right? He's talking about how we have to overcome all of that to humble ourselves and admit that we need saving and that we can't save ourselves. But wow, this act of abortion is such an illustration of the principle that Jesus is talking about there. Because when we make a gesture to save ourselves, particularly at the cost of another life, how can we then help ourselves in the aftermath spiritually? How can we lift ourselves up? The only way it can possibly happen is to harden our hearts and tell ourselves that, yep, it was the best that I could do, and tell ourselves that that life didn't matter. And that only works for so long. I mean, I've met people who say that they weren't affected by abortion and that, you know, it's wrong of me to try to make people feel guilty. Well, believe me, no one had to make me feel guilty. I was very sensitive to it early on. I didn't know how to grapple with it or what to do with it because I hadn't accepted Christ as my Savior. But when we lose our lives for His sake, He restores so much to us. And that's what we have in common. 1-800-811-3003. Our need for Jesus Christ to come and to make all things concerning that abortion new, to have His love cover a multitude of sins related to that situation in our lives. Jesus is the answer. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Mercy Great Enough is our pro-life healing resource tonight. And if you'd like a copy, you have just a few minutes to call us and join us on the air. Kim Cotola is my name, and our website is cradlemyheart.org. Quick program note, coming up next week, Monica Kelsey is going to join us. And Monica has a really unique story of growing up in an adoptive family, knowing that she was adopted, but believing that she came from a loving couple who simply didn't have the wherewithal to raise her, and so they placed her for adoption. Instead, she found out that her birth mother had been violently raped, and she set about to find her birth father. And the story is neither warm nor fuzzy. It's a devastating story. But Monica's faith and her witness to God's love in it is something that will really bless you. And she also has, because she was a person who had been abandoned at birth, she has a heart for those who have been abandoned. And she is behind the Baby Box Initiative, which works in conjunction with Safe Haven laws so that there's an actual physical location at fire stations and hospitals and police stations where people can anonymously leave a child in safe keeping. So we'll talk about the Safe Haven Initiative that Monica Kelsey worked so hard to establish and is working for on an ongoing basis, as well as hearing more of the details of her dramatic story. You'll find us on Facebook. You'll find us on Twitter. We have a really useful e-newsletter that we've been putting out for the last few months, including pro-life news and articles and resources for understanding the issue of pro-life, but also for connecting you with God's love after abortion. So just go to cradlemyheart.org and sign up for our newsletter. And when you do that, right now we do have a free downloadable pro-life apologetic that would be our pleasure to provide to you as well. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight. Our guest is Steve Seiler of Music for the Soul. The podcast will be posted this week if you didn't get to hear all of the interview from the very top. And we also are on iTunes with our podcast so that you can subscribe and listen to the episodes as your schedule permits. We're just so glad that you are here. We're so grateful to the radio station that is providing the airtime for this program and giving us the chance to proclaim God's truth and to assure you that no matter what you have done, up to and including abortion, God's love remains. 2 Timothy says, if we are faithless, God is faithful because he cannot disown himself. Please begin to believe that your healing is at hand. Thanks for listening. We're praying for you. We'll be back next week. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.